Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. I am Naomi.
I am Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. I said I'm starting the episode because it's almost my birthday.
Yes.
That's what I decided. This is how we celebrate.
By the way, this is the only way we're celebrating. I didn't plan a party for you. I got you zero gifts. I said you get to start this episode.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what, Naomi? I don't want anyone to ever say, I don't know how to celebrate.
I don't know how to treat
my woman correctly. I want the record to show.
Absolutely.
That I absolutely understand romance to its core.
Andy did give me one early present, because we got to shout this out because it was stunning. My breath was taken away. I did tear up. Okay? Andy got the brilliant, wonderful John Brennan, an artist who already gave us a stunning portrait of Mabel. Andy got John to do a portrait of Premley, you know, our dearly departed cat son, and it is so good. Took our breath away. Obviously, we'll share on social media, but John Brennan, I saw it and I was like tearing up and I said, John Brennan does it again, captures the soul of my child. And it was just so good. And it was, you were like, this is an early present. You know, I want to give it to you now.
I don't want it to sit in a box.
Right, right. You know, but it was like so good.
Yeah. I mean, when I walk past it now, I go, hi, Prem.
You're so good at gifts. Like, I'm not somebody who walks around being like, I want this and I want that. And, you know, so it's not like, you know, directly. I don't keep a wish list. It's nothing like that. But like, you always have something cooking, Beckerman.
Yeah.
And I am so bad. I talk about this, of course, on the pod, I'm sure, you know, several times. But I'm like, you just really, I mean, again, think about how long we've been together. After that first birthday fuck up, you have never missed.
Uh-uh.
You've never missed.
No. Anyway, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Just get me some a boudoir painting.
John Brennan, would you be willing to do that?
Can you really imagine?
God, no. And then also, like, where would it be? Like, in the bedroom above the bed?
Yeah, no, no. It would be in a fantasy bedroom, a four-poster bed. What is that called?
A four-poster bed?
A four-poster bed, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. And can you just imagine, like, where would you hang that?
That's my point. I'm like, do you put it in your own bedroom because it's a private space? But then it's like, I don't want to look at that.
Like, that's you're going to bed, and then you look up, and on the opposite wall is
I'm looking coquettish.
Yes, in lingerie or something.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
Listeners, have you ever done a boudoir painting? What have you done with it?
Especially, I think, specifying painting. Because we're not talking about
photos. No, photos.
Painting, the posing of it all.
Yes, Victorian painting.
What do you think of while you have to stand there? As always, I'm like, you know, because you're standing there a while.
Yeah.
And it's a question of like, what are you doing? I'm like not great at standing still. I can sit still. But standing still? You're out of your mind. I can't even stand still on stage as a stand-up. I'm like, I know, gotta pace.
Yeah, you're walking. Because we talked about like you bringing up like a small air purifier with you, and you're like, I don't know what I would do with it. I put it on the stool, but then I just pace around.
Exactly. I was like, I can't.
Naomi, what if I got you the male equivalent of the boudoir photo, which is me in a velvet sailor suit with a giant lolly?
That is not the male equivalent of boudoir painting.
I think, you know, and this is the classical kind of male mind. They want their lady in lingerie. But the classic female mind.
I need to know why you're whispering. I need to know why you're whispering.
Because, like, we've changed into another paradigm where gender is a spectrum.
Yes.
So to try to think of, because I was trying to go back in time in my brain and think of how I thought of things like 10, 15 years ago, it's really difficult to. Once you kind of change your conception of humanity, it's really difficult to go backwards.
Ain't that the truth, sister girl?
So I was trying to, like, I'm like, who cares? I was in the middle, and I was like, who gives a shit?
Well, I think because my thing is, like, your idea of the, quote, male is really actually just, like, a child's painting. Like, that's, like, what parents would get of their, like, deceased child in 1896.
Right.
So that's why I was like, I'm sorry, what am I supposed to want? A grown man in a sailor suit with a lolly?
A velvet sailor suit, yes, velvet. And also with a wig of golden curls.
Wig of golden curls. We are really loopy. You know what we just did, though, that was fun, you guys. A friend of ours got married, and we weren't able to attend, but she had a Zoom option. Mm. So we were able to see the whole ceremony, and I said, honey, this is living.
More things need to be on Zoom.
I loved it. I could be there. I could be present. We were able to hear everything. I even teared up via Zoom. I said, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. She looked snatched.
Oh,
guys.
My God.
Stunned.
Incredible. I got to say, the sound for the wedding was better than some live streamed plays and things we've seen before.
I know. They had it set up. They had it ready. And it was gorgeous. And so that was like a nice Saturday afternoon.
I want like people doing deep sea dives, not the one where the submarine.
Not Titanic.
No, I was going to say the newer billionaire.
The Titanic expedition.
Is that what that was called?
Well, it was going down to look at the Titanic.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they were going down. The submersible.
Yes, the submersible. That's all. That's the word I was struggling to find.
Okay, they were going to look at.
Yes, not the submersible that imploded, but you know, ones that are maybe better put together, maybe better, I was going to say funded. Maybe.
Well, you need to watch more of the nature shows with me, because you know I'm into Shark Week and all of those things. I mean, and that's top quality under the sea action.
Mm.
And I always wonder, what I need to know is who, first of all, so far they're all white dudes. Who are the underwater cinematographers? Because you do have to have talk about a special set of skills. You have to be like a good cinematographer, but you also have to have like your scuba license, and you also have to be like willing to be in a cage around sharks just to get the footage. And I said, I think it's probably just seven white men with a death wish who do this job. And they just stay work.
This is a good title for something. Seven white men with a death wish.
That's Expendables 5. That is the next installment. That's all that's left.
Hey, Naomi, before we get to the episode, I wanted to say, last week I mentioned that we had new t-shirts, but
yes,
we did not have the link yet.
Uh-huh.
Now we do.
Link is up.
Now we do. If you go to the link tree in any of our bios, there's the link to pre-order.
I got to update my link tree.
Pre-order our brand new t-shirts. Now, we wanted to do new t-shirts with the logo, new Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirts. These are softer.
Softer to new colors. New colors, okay? So it's like a light kind of purple and a light blue. When I tell you, Andy and I sat there looking at swatches, we kept going back and forth. And we said, Heather, no.
Yeah.
And then we said, light. Like, it was like, you know, and every color has like a name where you're just like, burnt orange or sunset meadows or, you know, trying. And we just kept, and these were the ones we felt like the images popped on them. They're giving softness. They're giving a warm spring day.
Mm-hmm. We were like tween Andy at Boscov's waiting for his dad and looking at swatches.
Looking at
swatches. I love swatch watches, Naomi. I loved swatch watches. Can I tell you? So when I was younger, there was I was obsessed with Penn & Teller. So I got their book and learned how to do some of their tricks, right? And they had a card trick. And I forget what... There was always a card that they would have people pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like, I don't know. I was about to say 13 of clubs, which is not a card. But the point is, whatever the card is that they would have people pick, that they would force on people, there was a swatch watch with that card on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, you bet I had that watch, and then I would use it. I would try to do the card trick.
Yep.
I was never very good at it, but I tried to do the card trick, and then I would be like, "Well," and then you always mess up. You're like,
"Yeah,
is this your card?" And they're like, "No,
yeah,
it's not." And then you go, "Oh, well, then tell me what time it is." And you hold up your watch, and you're like, "Is that your card?"
Oh snap! Oh snap! Don't you think all kids were into magic at some point? Like we all got like a, at the very least, like a basic book of tricks.
Uh-huh.
Whether we got good or not, but I feel like that's a phase you go through around 9 or 10 years old, where you're like, I want to see if I could do tricks, because it was so amazing, right, to see it in real life. But then
I think there's a kind of kid that goes through
okay,
a magic
so
phase.
Just me. Okay,
I would say if you are very good at football, let's
yeah,
say
you're yeah,
not
yeah,
you're not also trying to figure out, you know, close up magic.
I don't know, Andy. You know, people be out here containing multitudes. They be out here.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I think a handful of people are leaves of grass, folks. Containing multitudes.
Yeah,
I think most people contain singletudes.
You know what I remember getting as a kid that I loved, and you know, considering who I became with my love of true crime, I got like a detective kit, and I would like walk around picking up fingerprints, and I learned how you can use scotch tape to pick up the prints everywhere. And then it was like, you know, I could use like light talcum powder to pay if it was on a dark surface, or I could use like the little like black charcoal if it was on a light surface. And I was obsessed.
Naomi.
And I was like, I'm going to crack this case. I am Lady Sherlock. We're going to find out if anybody has breached this area.
Naomi, Sherlock's. You know this, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but when I was having my like quarter life crisis and I was leaving grad school and I didn't know if I was going to go do comedy or not yet or whatever, I thought I would become a private detective.
I know that, but I think it's more impressive because I was younger. Okay. You were having a bored to death moment and I was like literally 9 years old being like, all right, we're going to get answers. Somebody been up in here who's not me.
Oh, okay. So because I wasn't a prodigy about
it. Exactly. I've always been obsessed with the process.
Yes. Also, one other thing for the Patreon.
Patreon friends.
If you're part of the Patreon, we're going to do another Zoom hang for the holidays.
Holiday hang is what we're calling it, or I've decided in this moment to call it that. Okay? And that is going to be December 29th at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. We had to push it up, honey, because the Ask Ron a Kiki is like at 2 p.m. And we said, we can't split.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, I got to pop in over there.
You know, it's a pretty chill time. We just hang out. You can ask us whatever you want. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, Q&A. I think we should wear our Hanukkah pajamas, even though Hanukkah will be passed by then. But I think that we could do that.
Oh, my God. Hanukkah's now, right?
Hanukkah's
like tomorrow?
Early. Yeah, I think it starts the 6th. Hanukkah's now.
Wow.
That is actually a good title of like a Hanukkah album. You know,
Hanukkah
what I mean?
Is now.
Hanukkah is now. And then it would just be like an album.
Just EDM remixes of Hanukkah standards.
Hanukkah standards being Adam Sandler songs?
No. Hanukkah, come light the menorah.
Yeah, that's just cetera, one.
Cetera.
That's just one.
You dreidel, know what I mean? Dreidel, dreidel, I made you out of clay.
Okay, two. We both stopped. Okay, so that album, it will be two songs and then 6 remixes of each song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We should get to the guest.
Yes.
Because this is a fun one. And you know what? No better way to kick off my birthday than with a magical guest, a dear friend.
Who is this week?
The wonderful Lauren Lapkus.
Yes.
Come on now, podcast queen. You know Lauren from her podcast, Threedom and Newcomers with Nicole Byer. You've seen her on Netflix in The Wrong Missy. You could see her in The Outlaws, also on Netflix. Mm. Lauren be out here, honey. She be out here working, booked, busy, blessed. So sweet, so fun. And I just feel like, why am I hyping it up? Let's just get to it.
Roll it.
LL in the house.
Lauren, this might be my preferred way to interact with you because I know you primarily from podcasts. And so this is, especially in real life, you are a normal human being. And so you...
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah.
You have normal human being topics and talk like a normal human being. But in my mind, it's Threedom. And so I'm just like, all right, time for nonsense. And then you're...
Oh, yeah. It just doesn't go that way in real life. Even when Scott, Paul, and I hang out off mic, we're not at all talking like that. Oh. It's like very sober.
Oh. Yeah. It's funny because I want to say maybe a month ago, I did send Lauren a video without your permission, Andy. I did send her a video of you laughing.
Oh my God, this was the best.
So, like, the hardest I've ever heard you laugh, and I'm a comedian, okay, that you say is funny. I've never heard the laugh. You were laughing long enough for me to, like, he's laughing. I register the laugh. I decide to get my camera out and film it. Like, that's the duration of the laugh. You were listening to something on Threedom.
Uh-huh.
And it like
that made me so happy.
And I said, Lauren, look what you did. Look at the power.
It was the best.
The beauty. I've never.
Are you jealous?
No, but I was like, it's just funny because I'm always hearing the snippets of the podcast if you're playing it like on the speaker.
Yes.
You know, like if you're in the bathroom
or if I'm
like
showering.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I have it. And so it's like funny because I hear these snippets and I'm like, what are these three knuckleheads doing? Because it's
it never makes sense, and it definitely wouldn't make sense with no context. It wouldn't. I mean, it barely makes sense with context. I listen to podcasts in the shower too. Have we talked about this? I feel like I need constant voices in my head. I'm like, I want to hear conversation at all times. I like really like that. And if I'm like getting in the shower, I'm like, this is so perfect. I can like have a full entertainment moment here.
Yeah, because
I don't do music.
It's boring otherwise. Life is just drudgery, and you gotta fill in the drudge parts with entertainment.
Yeah.
But okay, but is it part drudgery? Because you say that because you're like, I'm bored, I'm gonna listen to this. LL, are you drowning out the voices? Like,
maybe to some extent, it's like, let's not go into my thoughts right now. If I do that, then I have to like, oh, that's a whole world I got to get into. Let's just listen to people talk about an episode of a TV show. And then
okay.
Let's get into this. What are those voices saying?
I mean, I don't even know. I never let them talk. It's really...
Wow. Well, it's funny because, of course, you know my...
That's not true. That's not true. I have an inner mind.
Well, you know, my favorite thing to do is tell someone what I think of them, put them on their heels, and then they're left to, you know, pick up the pieces of that insult. I don't mean to insult, but it's like because I do think of you as an upbeat person, a head-on straight person, you know, someone... You were told you were enough from a very early age.
Yeah, that is accurate. I feel that I have... The thing that bothers me a lot in my brain is like I'll just like obsess over a thought or something. And so it's like if I'm just like or like stewing about something that annoyed me or a conversation I want to have in my mind, but I'm probably not going to have with somebody, then I'm just like I can really go on that for a while. So it's nice to just fully like tune out and just not think about that. Because like I can do that. I'm doing it while I'm talking.
Right.
So it's like that's all happening anyway, you know?
Yep.
But it's just like dulled a little bit by a podcast.
Oh, Lauren, when you said stewing, all I started thinking about was Stewie from The Family Guy, a show I have not seen probably conservatively in.
I only think about Stewie. And so I'm trying to block that out because it's really crazy. I'm in love with him.
This is what I'm talking about. Like someone will say a word.
Yeah.
And my brain just go like plays like, what does that word sound like?
Yeah.
And then it goes off in that direction. And then like the next thing I know, it's 3 minutes later.
Haven't listened to a word I've said.
Do you find that in your relationship that you're like aware that he's thinking about something else?
I'm aware that Andy is someone who's in his head. It's funny, whereas like, because you know, we're in the house 90% of the time and like together, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm the kind of person who'll just kind of like, I pass by him and then I'll be like, here's a thought out loud. And I know he is not prepared to receive said thought, right? Because he's in, because podcast or just like being in his brain.
Yeah.
So I know he is like very interior. And there are just times where we're talking where I'm like, I always joke, I go, honey, please don't get dementia because I will not be able to diagnose. Because you're already word associating places that don't make sense.
See, I feel like Mike will do, like, if I talk to him while he's on his computer, like writing something or what, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm like, I'll pop in and just start talking like that. And then it's like, I just know there's either a very delayed reaction and then he's like, he'll say a response, but it's so ungratifying because you're like, I feel like you heard me later then are like, she'll want me to say something back. And then here's the thing I'm going to say or whatever, which I also probably do to him too. But like, it's like, so if I want to say something, I'm like, I try to be better. He would laugh probably at this because I'm sure he'll be like, you don't do this at all. But like, I feel like I try to be like, can I say something to you? Like, do you have a second for me to say something?
Yes.
Especially if it's like a bigger, you know, thing.
Right.
But like, and then like he claims he can be on his phone and hearing me.
Mm.
But like, I'm like, I don't think you're listening to me. He's like, I'm fully listening, but he's like talking to somebody. Like, but I don't feel like, can you just put the, you know? Because I know that when I'm on my phone and I think I'm listening, I don't hear anything. Like, I actually don't hear. I think that I can multitask, but I really don't think I can.
What are you doing on your phone? I could understand you're reading a thing. If you're flipping, I can flip pictures on Instagram and listen to you.
I don't know that I can. I think that I like to think that I can, but I think if I'm looking at people, I'm thinking about the people and I'm thinking about stuff related to them. And then I'm just like, huh? And it's been 5 minutes. Dangerous world with the phone.
You were talking about kind of before we were like, yeah, I'm like stewing on a conversation that I want to have but won't have. And I'm asking you this as someone who's really into that lately, just really stewing on conversations and then not knowing the value of said conversations. You have a lot of friends. You're a gal about town. Will you?
Sure.
Andrew laughing, you guys.
Just the Naomi's characterization of people is just always funny to me.
I'm a gal about town. That is how people.
You're a My Girl Friday.
You're a Girl Friday. But in your friendships, do you have a problem, a hang up, like saying to someone like, hey, that hurt me, or hey, I didn't like this?
Yeah, I feel like I don't love doing that. But I recently did this with a family member. But it was really unsatisfying. But I think with friends, first of all, I don't feel like my feelings get hurt that often with my friends. Like, it's pretty rare nowadays. I also feel like I just don't have that many friends anymore who are unpredictable like that. Like, you know, like, I think there were times in my life where I was hanging out with people where, like, we would say stuff to each other that maybe would be more mean as like a joke and then not know if it went too far or something. I don't really feel like my friends do that now, but no, I've had it with people saying it to me, like someone saying like that hurt my feelings and then like working through it. But I appreciate it because I feel like it's just so much nicer to get through something. But with, I think back to like times recently where maybe I've had something not with my feelings being hurt, but maybe I've been like, oh, I wish they said that differently. I try to just go like, that's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a friend who was kind of like said something that felt kind of tactless. And then I was like, she just sometimes does that. Like, it's just like, I'm like, I know that that's just how she talks more than she's trying to, she doesn't care about my problem or she's trying to be, to disregard me or something. It's like, no, she just sometimes will phrase things in a way that for me isn't as soft as I would like around this topic or whatever. But it doesn't mean that she's trying to hurt my feelings. She's just saying, she's kind of matter of fact, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, are my feelings hurt or can I go, that's not really, she's not being mean to me.
Yeah.
She talks like that.
But when you tell yourself that, then you let it go? Or you tell yourself that and you're still like, what the fuck, why'd she call me?
No, it's more like I let it go. And then like, I think I had a thing recently where it was like, that kind of happened. And then I was like, I kind of hate how she says this around this thing or whatever. Like, she talks like this around this topic. And then like time passed. And then I felt like she said something that wasn't like that the next time or whatever. And I was like, okay. And then I was just like, I don't need to be like, you need to talk to me like this. You need to say things like this. Because I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't need the conflict. Not that I'm avoiding something or that I'm not able to stand up for myself. It's more that I'm going, I don't think this is really about me. I think this is like, like just like a way of someone being that's like, I don't have to take it personally.
But see, that goes back to what I said, someone telling you you're enough at an early age. You see, having it not be about you. That is, there's a health to that. Because I do think a big part of when we get hurt, and this is literally this morning, Andy had to tell me, he was like, I don't think this, he's like, this wasn't personal. Like the slight you feel is not personal. And yet for me, it was like, it's a cosmic sign of the universe disrespecting me wholeheartedly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, then I think I totally get that. And I think that there's times where, like, if some, like, for example, the example I was giving with my friend saying that I had hurt her feelings, it's like, I didn't mean it. Like, I definitely didn't mean to do anything personal. I would never try to insult somebody, you know, my friend or whatever. I would insult other people, but I would never insult my friend. And so it's like, oh, I definitely didn't mean it like that, but it's still fair to tell me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to walk in the world being clumsy, but like, so I guess I'm saying both answers. Like, I'm like, I guess on one hand, it's helpful, even if it's not personal, and that you can get through that and say, it's not personal, I really didn't mean that or whatever. But on the other hand, I'm like, I can try to not take things personally, because if I do, I honestly, I could take everything personally. Like, I feel like I can get like on a like rage rampage, you know, in my head of like, oh my God, why did they fucking do that? Or why didn't they write me back? Or why didn't they whatever? And it's like, trying to just make it not about you is just feels calmer.
Yes.
For me.
Yes, 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 yes.
I don't know. I love making it about me. So then I can. There was someone, I don't know, some like indie rock band, and I wrote their manager to be on my other podcast, and they're like, too busy now. The manager was like, too busy now. And then, thanks. And I was just like, who the fuck are you?
To
me like this.
Yeah.
This stranger that just emailed you out of nowhere. And then I went off in my head. Yeah. I'm just like, all right, Andy, this is
I know. It's, and that's easy, especially with like stuff like rejection. It's very easy to be like really mad.
All the time.
But then I think I've been trained in this business to be like, I'm like rejected so much that like, you just, and that's really one where you can't take it personally, like, because it's just always something really random. Like when you see the person who got it, you're like, all right, well, it wasn't going to be, it obviously wasn't me. Or if like, or if they're very similar to you, then you're like, well, I guess we're really similar, and like maybe it was close. So like, it's just like, you can't even try to figure it out. So like, it, there's no point in being like, that person hates me, they never put me in anything or whatever. Like, you would just be mad all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but okay. Yes. Well, inaccurate.
Yes. Welcome to our apartment. But here's the thing. So is that something that has come to you in adulthood? Is that something that's come to you in parenthood, because now you are focused on keeping another human alive, and maybe these imagined slights are just not as forceful as they once were in your brain? Or a third thing that I can't think of.
Or have you always just had it? Yeah. Been able to shake it off?
I mean, no, I don't know. I think I've at least been able to put words to it more in recent history. And like, therapy is probably helpful for that. Like talking through problems and, but I think some of it is just getting older. And I think I was more anxious, like socially anxious, when I was in my 20s. And like, that puts a lot of stuff on other people, like social anxiety, I feel like, is like really outward. And like, I mean, it's about yourself, but it's also like about everyone, and like kind of like analyzing things. And like, I feel like I've let a lot of the, I don't really care about any of that stuff now. Like I, like the idea of like going to a party alone would be like hell like 10 years ago. Yeah. And now I'm like, whatever, or I just don't go and I don't care. And like, it's not a problem. But like, so that helps a lot, I think, like just age and experience and like going through some hard things and then just being like, what really matters? And then, yeah, having a kid is helpful for me in that sense, because I think about what kind of person I want to raise and like what kind of example and like the things I want to talk about. And I, you know, I'm not controlling any of it, but like there's some reflection of like, oh, I probably, I don't want, like, for like, I don't want to complain about my body in front of her, or I don't want to like, you know, different things like that. But like, it just makes you think about how you think and, you know, talk in the world.
Yeah.
What was the turning point of all this stuff, from that kind of self-conscious or socially awkward or anxious person into the mature adult you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I would never put it that, I would never go that far with it. But I mean, I do think divorce was like a big thing for me, because it was like a huge choice and like turning point for like life decisions and like assessing life. And then like going into the world by yourself after being in a partnership for that like formative period or whatever, and then just being like, now I'm not that anymore, and being able to like shed some of the anxieties. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like it helped because it just forced me out of some habits.
Yeah. Because how old were you when you made that decision?
30.
Okay, right. So that had been most of your 20s of like being in this relationship that was like, this is it, and we're a duo, and this is who I'm going to be.
Yeah, yeah. And then when that's not the thing, it's like, well, what does that mean? And it's kind of, it's like in that specific situation, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I'm like, it was cool to be able to get to, you know, be like, I'm just me by myself. Right. So,
And then when did you, because I obviously we've heard of this because, you know, your husband Mike has, you know, you guys did the show together, but I'm trying to remember how old were you when you guys started dating? Because I knew you had met, but like the dating.
Yeah, I think it was like a year, like 30, I guess 30. I don't know like my age based on the months or whatever, but
Okay, but you had like, well, you had like a year out there, like kind of out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Did you, in that year, were you like, okay, so I am going to ask this question, who am I, in a certain sense, and I'm going to try to figure out the answer. I'm not saying like you put a stopwatch.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Like I got a year to figure this out. But
it was cool, like even like getting my, like living alone, like I had never lived alone. So then it's like, okay, what does that mean to me? And like, what's my space? And like, what do I want to do with my social time? And like, what's important to me? And so like that experience, I think, of just like being by myself more was really helpful. But I don't know that I was really reflecting so properly, you know. I don't know that I was like being so like amazing about it. It was like in the moment, but I think looking back, I can be like, oh yeah, I can see how that was like a time where I was able to move past some like sort of like that feeling in your chest that gets tight when you like are in an uncomfortable situation or whatever. Like, I feel like I got rid of a lot of that. Mm.
Wait, how long were you having that feeling?
I mean, like I just look back and I'm like, I feel like socially, not socially with my friends or like in improv or whatever, but it's like in environments where I was more uncomfortable or out of my element, I felt like really out of my element in my head, like where it's like, I don't know what to say or do or like whatever. And then like, I look back and I'm like, oh, that's really not like how I feel.
Yeah.
So there was a change.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can walk into any party and talk about anime with anyone.
Yeah, sure. With
until,
anyone. Yeah, yeah.
Until their eyes glaze over.
Yeah. About, whether they want it or not.
About 30 seconds in. And I'm just like, I don't know why.
Just to have that is amazing. But I mean, it's more, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I don't feel like I could talk about anything with anyone or I could do anything with anyone, but it's more that I'm like, I just don't care what happens here. Like, it's like, yes. I'm not like hanging my hat on like every like moment or
every interaction. Or like, if you go to a party, you go in there and you're like, all right, cool. Or like, it's not cool, you leave. Like, it's not really.
It's not like the pressure that like I might have put on myself before.
Right. Yeah. I get that.
Right.
I
yeah.
That. So wait, how much of your 20s was this first marriage and the relationship before that?
Because I had a boyfriend in high school and college, and then that brief breakup, and then I was with my ex from like 21 to 30. Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a lot of years.
Yeah.
Sort of when you, you know.
Sorry, I was just like, because I'm like, I know a little, like, I you were in New York for a while.
Yeah, I moved there after college, but we were like long, that was when we first started dating, we were long distance. But yeah.
When you're kind of, you know, I guess I'm curious and, you know, when you're ending something, one, when you're very young, because we had someone ask a question about this where they were like, somebody had like called, written in because their sister was with somebody where they've been together since they were 18 and they were like 26 now and getting married, but how it was like, this may not be good, but we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But when you're that young and when someone's so entwined with...
Ooh, I might actually have a question about that for later, maybe.
Who you are an adult and then also like your family and stuff. Was there a fear of ending that, not simply, sure, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation. Like, we all know, like, that's not good. But I mean, in terms of, were there other people in your life who were saying, stay with this, this is love?
I think nobody knew that I wasn't sure or something, but I wasn't really able to address that. Uh-huh. Like, it's, again, part of, like, looking back, I'm like, the things I did and choices I made, I'm like so confused because I would just never be like that now. And I would never tell anyone to be like that or whatever. But like, I look back and I'm like, oh, it was a lot of just like pushing things down and be like, just do what this is, everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. Nobody's, you know, it's like nothing's happening that's bad. And it's like, that doesn't mean you should keep going. I mean, I think like, yeah.
Yeah, when Emily Gordon was on, she talked about that with her first husband.
Yeah.
It was basically that same kind of thing. Like, she's like, he was a nice guy, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This wasn't the person I was supposed to
And say, I like, think when you're, it's like, yeah, and sometimes, and that can happen in a short relationship that you get married or whatever. But also, I think it can very easily happen, like what you're talking about with like a young relationship, like when you start when you're young. I mean, he was older, but like my brain wasn't formed. My brain wasn't done. Yeah. I still had a couple, it wasn't until midway through that my brain decided to stop growing. And so that would have been, and like, you know, it makes sense actually. I'm like, I became an adult during this time. Mm. And like, then my personality, feelings, you know, perspectives changed. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think like nobody was like saying stuff like that to me. Like that's like, you know, okay. I feel like now I hear so many stories, and maybe it's that thing of like when you're aware of, but there's like a, what's that word? Is it the Bader-Meinhof thing or what is that? Where like you hear something and you hear it over and over, you keep hearing it everywhere you go.
I don't know. Bader-Meinhof was a German terrorist group in the 70s.
Are you kidding?
I think so.
Okay, what am I talking about? There's a phrase for like when you hear a new word and then you like hear it everywhere and you're like, now everyone's saying that word. It's not that, I guess, but it's that thing where I feel like I'm like, now I hear all these stories all the time of people who have the same thing happen and blah blah blah, and then I'm like, but nobody was saying that then, and it's like, that's not true. I just like wasn't able to. I do remember like watching The View and Whoopi was talking about, I think it was Whoopi and Barbara Walters. They were talking about, they've both been married multiple times, and like walking down the aisle and knowing you weren't supposed to do it.
Whoa.
And I remember being like, whoa. Like that was like, oh my God, this conversation is too much for me to process.
Oh no. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh God. Is there a word for that? Where like, it's like.
Bader-Meinhof.
I'm looking this up. I need to know what the fuck that was.
But like, is there a word for like, where like, you know, there's that kind of like, you, the minute you cross the threshold, I don't necessarily mean like the kind of like walking down the aisle threshold, but like the threshold. Yeah. Of a thing where you're changing the state of something and you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
There should be a word for
Andy,
that.
Andy, we're both right, by the way. It is okay, so it's the Red Army faction known as the Bader-Meinhof group, but the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon was coined in 1994 by Terry Mullen in a letter to the St. Paul Pioneer Press. The letter describes how after mentioning the name of the German terrorist group Bader-Meinhof once, he kept noticing it. So it's literally that. It's also called a frequency illusion.
Wow. But, you guys.
Okay, so I love that I didn't say something completely wrong, though. I'm happy.
No, but
right
you were
now,
correct. I think it's very happy that you were both correct. Do you see what I'm saying? That never happened.
That was perfect. You mansplained, and yet I womansplained, and together...
You know what?
We made sense.
We people-splained.
We both mansplained.
So wait, hold on. Just explaining something is now mansplaining?
Also, no, it is. Disagreeing is mansplaining.
No, that's disagreeing not. Is mansplaining. And then when you Google it and explain what it was, you're also mansplaining. Yeah, it's anything annoying with explaining is mansplaining.
I'm done with this. I'm listening to Joe Rogan when we're done talking.
Oh my God, totally. I've never done that.
Oh my God.
I have when he was on news radio. I've heard him.
You've heard him talk.
I listened to every line he said. Yeah.
But okay, wait.
Yeah, Andy's got to unpack. It was so funny because I took and I looked to him because I said, he's got more. I can feel it.
Sure. No, I'm just curious about like, you know, you said no one told you certain things, but like the idea of getting married so young seems like, did you just feel it in the air?
Well, I got married at 28 and a half. Yeah, we were only married for a year and a half.
Okay. That still seems young to me.
So, but that is young. But not that. I would still say 28 seems young, but it is a normal age to get married.
Right. Yeah, sure.
It's like, average kind of thing. But yeah, I was 28, 29. I think so. It was very much like, that's the next step. Mm-hmm. I actually, at the time, didn't expect that all to happen around the time that it did. But
now, when did therapy come in? Because to me, that would seem like the time, right? Like getting out of that
relationship.
Wouldn't
that have been great? Yeah. No, I didn't do therapy until a couple years later.
Okay.
To deal with other problems in my life. But I, but it was amazing. Because, I mean, everything comes up. You know, that's what's so great. I think whatever reason you're signing up for therapy for, you'll end up talking about all the things.
And then somehow just end up talking about your parents. Oh, is that
just me? And then sometimes, and sometimes nothing. And then you're like, why did I just pay that person to like kind of like talk casually and like try to be funny and then leave? Like, it's like,
oh, yeah. There's some real weeks where it's just a struggle and I'm just like,
I got nothing.
I don't know. Did you see the Barbie movie? There is a lot of stuff like that where I'm like, well, did you see this thing? And then I'm praying she talks for like at least 5 minutes.
Yeah. But they did your therapist tell you things like that? Like, would she be like, yeah, I saw that movie and here's my opinion on it or blah, blah, blah.
No, like, I really have to. She won't give you nothing. No. She's very Freudian. She's very just like, why did you ask that? And I'm like, fuck, I just wanted to waste time. I sort of want that
attitude. Like that sort of like pointing it back at you over and over again. But then at the same time, I think sometimes when I do therapy, I think that I'm talking myself into all my answers and realizations anyway, that I'm like, is that good? Like, is it good if I'm also coming up with a solution? Like always? Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes don't you want someone to be like, what if you did this?
Or
what
But then the question always becomes, it's like, well, are you going to actually do that? Right? Because it still comes down to what you're going to do. And so sometimes like your therapist, like my therapist be telling me stuff and I'm like, like, this is the thing. I know what a normal person does. And I know what like healthy, sane people who can fit their clothes do. Okay. I know what it is, but do I want to do that thing? Do I have the optimism, energy level, the moxie,
the gumption, the get up and go,
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't get up and go. I sit and lay. I sit and lay.
So it's not worth it to say what you should do because you're like, I'm not going to do that. So it's like if you come to a conclusion on something, then their therapist can go like, okay, well, then maybe pursue that.
Well, I guess
you seem like you might be interested in that.
Maybe, but I'm saying more so that like whether they give you the idea or you come to the conclusion, right? Like if you come to the conclusion, you're probably more likely to actually do the thing. Than if they tell
you. That seems accurate.
Yeah. Sometimes I do want that. The reason why I am talking to this neutral person, and I'll tell you, neutral, I do ask a lot of times, or she asks me, why is it important that you entertain me? And I say, because this
You can't be asked that.
You're another human being in front of me. I don't want this to be a slog for you. I would like you to be engaged in this. And if I'm.
But not everyone feels that way. Right. I mean, I'm sure there's people who just stare at her.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Why do we have this impulse to, like, I gotta like do a little show.
Like cane and top hat. Because it's another human being. You don't want them to be bored. And because in my mind, if they're not bored, if they're engaged, they want me to be better.
Exactly. I was like, why don't we just be honest and say we think that if we're entertaining enough that they'll care more to help us succeed. Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing. I'm the same way with like just medical doctors. I'm always like, I want to be the patient. Yes. You go, you know what? I want you to get better, kid.
Yes.
Yes. And like, I'll remember you. And like next time when I see you, I'll care more.
Exactly. Yeah.
I did a televisit for my pinky. I had a little pinky problem.
Excuse me?
I had a little pinky problem.
No, say the sentence again.
I did
a televisit for my pinky. Thank you. Because that's really important to get on record.
I didn't need to be there. And before I...
What happened to the pinky? I needed more backstory.
It's infected. I don't need to.
It was gross.
It's infected. Yeah,
it was gross.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is important. Yes. It's not just that you like hurt your pinky.
Yeah. I didn't just stab my pinky and I'm
it was getting bad. And then I just had to let him get to the realization that he might need to have someone look at it. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't. It goes back. I say something. He says, no, I know what it is. And I go,
you're just
like
my wife. You're some broad. I don't need to listen to you.
Yeah.
You better have somebody look at that.
But I thought it was just something else. Anyway, the point is, I went in with jokes prepared. I was like, I'm going to say this. And I got to tell you, it worked. She laughed. When I wanted her to laugh, it was like
that's
clockwork.
Nice. And telemedicine, too, which I feel like they're not expecting anything.
Yeah.
No,
they're
entertaining
out.
To happen.
You also, I think I also, too, in those scenarios, I want them to level with me, right? Like, if I show them that I'm sharpened with it, they will give me the real answer as opposed to attempting to manage or placate me, which is kind of what the job is in the short term, is sort of like, okay, someone's in front of me. I need to kind of handle them. And I like to kind of go in and be like, come on, you and me, we cool.
Right.
We cool. Give me the real, you know, give me the referral. Give me the extra.
I feel like that's true because the humor, like that does show a lot about the way your brain works and that you're like paying attention and you can read other people. And like, it kind of gives a lot of information just in like a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. But and the thing with a therapist is I'm hoping that if they're engaged, they will give me some, it won't just be me sitting there for a year waiting to have a break. And it's all just stuff like, I don't know, have an honest conversation with your parents. That's really what it's all come down to. And then I'm just sitting here being like, well, like Naomi said, do I actually want to do that? Or do I, do I not? And so far I do not. That is
that's fine, you know.
But I'm like,
it's not always worth it.
Give me some other option. Is there another option? Can I just zap my brain with some kind of electricity? And
well, I tried that. No, it doesn't work. Put magnets on my head. Didn't work. I'm trying everything. Are you and your parents close? Because I do. It does seem like you go visit, you know, voluntarily often.
Yes, I like my parents. Yeah. Yes, yes, very lucky for that. And my parents live near my brother and his wife and kids, like, so it's like I get to see everyone, so it's really nice. But yes, I do. And yeah, they've been together for almost 50 years.
Wow. And my parents,
or actually they've been together over 50 years but almost 50 years married.
And they like each other, huh?
Yeah, I think it's all right.
No, it's like, I don't even mean that as a joke question, because you know what I mean, like that generation would say married and be like, we have an icy
It's not, it's not like that. No, they're pals. Yeah, okay. So that's good.
Well, then where do your therapy issues come in? Because for me and Naomi, it's all starts.
Oh, well,
the
of course I have stuff with that too. I mean, it's like, it's not like that's every dynamic is perfect. I mean, I think many therapy. I mean, I don't want to tell the world what all of my problems are,
of course.
But I have many, and I'm sure they're all very relatable. And there's so much to talk, endless topics of, and endless people to analyze and wonder why they said that thing to me, and why did this happen, and then, oh, why did that go like that? And yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I have a group of girlfriends that gets together every once in a while that we kind of just bonded over those types of conversations of like, this really frustrating thing happened like with this person and whatever. It can kind of like be a wide range of, you know, like topics that we're actually coming in with. But like, we had a get together last night and it's just so therapeutic to like hear from other people what their problems are with other people.
Yes,
because you're like, okay, everybody's got fucking shit going on with like somebody. And like someone's really annoying, or somebody said something really mean, or somebody did something really hurtful. And like, we've all got this all the time that we're like managing. And it's just nice sometimes to hear like, oh, everyone else has dysfunction as well. I feel like when you have it yourself, like it can really feel like you're like, oh my God, why am I so fucked up that like I have this problem right now with this person? And like, it can feel like it's your thing. And it's like, wait, literally everybody has one of those,
if
not more.
Right.
Like at all times. Yeah. Like, you know, like there's just like something.
Yeah.
So it is nice to hear, like, even though I'm sad people have to deal with problems like that, I'm like, at least someone going like, well, I'm not alone in this. This is like how life is.
Yeah.
I know. Sorry. But it is that realization at some point where you're like, oh, this is just life. This is just how existence goes in the 21st century.
And it's definitely a circle, as you're showing. It's like, you think you're done. You're like, yay. And then it's like someone else does something. You're like, no, we're doing this now. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
So wait, we need to take a break soon. But I want to just one more question about the, just to Columbo this. just one more question. When you come to a conclusion in therapy, do you actually then go do it, or are you just like, that was a nice conclusion, I'll just tuck that away and maybe someday I'll deal with it?
It's like thinking about one that I had like a year ago where I was like dealing with an issue with a person. I feel like I talked it out a lot, which was really helpful, and then I think I kind of sat on it for a long time, but it was nice to feel, I think therapy can help me feel a resolution with it without even confronting the person or doing something, where it's kind of like, same with that idea of like making it not about myself, or even if it is about myself, but being like, how can I have peace with this? because I don't know that I want to go be that person's best friend or fix this thing or like go have a sit down and get into it. Like, I don't know if I want to do it. Like, and not even saying like that's good or bad. Like, it's just like, I don't think I want to. And then like the situation that I'm thinking of a year later, I mean, maybe a year later, that person emailed me and then I emailed back and then we kind of like just kind of had a nice thing and then I was kind of like, great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it made me feel a lot better. And I don't know that that would have worked at that time.
Right.
Like, I like, almost feel like
you would have felt better had you had.
Yeah. I don't know if it would have meant something because there wasn't the reflection period on both sides to be like, hey, that, you know what, let's move past that or who cares about that thing or whatever. Like, I'm in a different place now and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. Sometimes time is good.
Yeah.
Sometimes time is good.
It's just that like life is so difficult, even in, even in like, you know, the bougie places we are at the moment, that I'm just like, if I don't have to have this conflict, I don't want to have this conflict.
I'd love to have no conflict ever, but that's just...
Okay, hot take from Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah, I'd be so cool to have no conflict. However, I do think I bring conflict. I think I'm like, with my mom, I'll be like, don't, like, why'd you say that? I wish you didn't say that. Bah, 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 bah. Like, I'll like go right at it usually with whatever the thing is. So I'm like, yeah, I definitely like, I don't shy away from it with certain relationships, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I wouldn't say like find joy in it. I think there's some people who really like get into it with you. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not liking it. I just feel like I have to.
You see the glint in their eyes. You feel the energy wafting
the
off of them.
When they're like, okay, let's argue for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's scary. Those people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like werewolves.
Because, you know, they'll never tire. They're like, they like it. Like, it's like fun. And it's like, that's, you won't, you know, win in any way.
Right.
You just gotta escape.
So
you just gotta escape.
It's gotta be the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Is that when the ball is coming at him? Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of escape, why don't we take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back with Lauren Lapkus here to help you handle your scandal. Lauren is even keeled.
Okay.
Lauren has a system in place. Lauren said, I ain't trying to fight with you. Okay? That's the energy she's bringing into helping you help yourself. So we need to just have that in mind.
Now, of course, we get questions from all over. We get them from Twitter DMs, Instagram DMs, our Gmail account, couplestherapypod@gmail.com. And our favorite voicemail. Naomi, what is that number?
323-524-7839. Come through, y'all. You know what? Because, you know, we called for lighter questions like a month or so ago. Now I'm calling and give me some more like petty stuff. I want to hear about enemies. Yes. I want to hear about like bosses you hate. I want to hear about the sister-in-law who drives you mad. Like, I just need like some pettiness in my life. So if you guys have anything in that vein, like
any
even
petty
if
you- questions?
Yeah, just like anything where you're like, I don't know. I'm just saying, bring me rivalries. Bring me like petty, you know.
Like there's a person at work who keeps doing this thing that I can't stand.
Exactly.
Or it's not like life or death, but it's really annoying.
Yeah, but also just like juicy too. Like I just want, I just want to hear like some Real Housewives level. I just like need a little something like that. Just so
Like people cheating on people in the workplace, or like you're aware of someone doing something and you're not part of it. Like that's fun too.
There's
like
nothing I love
secondhand.
More. Secondhand drama. I have no stakes, but I do have opinions. I mean, come on, come on. You're like, okay, two people at work are hooking up, and it's driving me crazy because they keep leaving the desk wet. I don't know.
Ew.
And then you, and you say,
"What
should I do?"
Surprising.
What should I do?
It was
how do I ruin them? No, because and then you kind of just and then we could talk about
they're
how
hooking
we
at work
get them.
And there's jizz everywhere. It's like, oh, Naomi, what
Andrew, I didn't say that. I didn't use that phrase.
She said wet,
thank
and
you?
It could be sweat.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of stuff.
It could be butt sweat.
Thank
did not
you.
Mean
that's what I was envisioning. Actually,
very different.
That did not mean sweat.
Yes, I did. Actually, I thought of a wet butt sitting on a desk.
Yeah.
Listeners, what? Wetness to Naomi mean?
The wetness I said. How you gonna gas
sound
like
off
me in my house?
In the comments.
You better get to a question.
So we did ask for some lighter questions to, so that we weren't always like ramping up into trauma right away. And this one comes to us anonymous from an Instagram direct message. Hey, I have a fun/light question for the podcast. I'd like to stay anonymous, and it doesn't have to be specific to me, but I'm a cishet, 38-year-old, single mom in New York City, she, her.
Okay, city gal.
Another single mom friend and I are planning to try a speed dating event.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Trying to come up with fun questions for a 5 to 7 minute conversation that helps you get to know someone without being too interviewee or focused on their job. Thanks and love you guys.
Yes!
So questions... Questions for...
That's a great question.
Yes. So yes, how do you not do job interviewing, but how do you really get a sense of a person?
Yeah, it's like, okay, I mean, I have never been on dating profiles, but I feel like people have things like that on their profile where it's like sort of like a thing to like you try to make yourself be a little unique or like answer a question. Like, I don't know. It's kind of a tough, like you don't want to ask something that's really weird or like, cause that makes you look weird too.
I kind of love it though.
But it's like,
what are your thoughts on the Bader-Meinhof group?
Yeah. I mean, and then you'd get two very different things. That'd be very interesting. But like, yeah, like what's the most recent, and then this is not a good example, but like, what's the most recent fight you had? But like, you don't really want to have that because you don't want to start off on a bad note. But like, something like that, like, what's the most recent, what? Like, what could it be? Like,
well,
like
this thing, all of my thoughts are like maybe negative, but in a way, I kind of like it as a way to weed out a person immediately, right? You only have 5 to 7 minutes. So even if it's uncomfortable, it's not uncomfortable for very long. So
true.
I would say, like, when was the last time you cried? If that's too hard.
Or like, what about last time you laughed really hard? Like,
well, that's a sweet way in. That's a sweet way in.
A good like insight into what makes them laugh.
Yep.
Like, or like if they tell a story about their friend, like, or a group of friends that they hang out with, and like kind of opens up like where,
what they're doing,
or where they were recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they're just like, I just watched Talladega Nights for the 47th time. Like that.
Yeah.
Tells
and then you're
you
like,
that person.
I don't want to do that with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, that's like your vibe. But it's like so true. That's a good one. Laugh. Cause I was gonna say, when did you cry? Like, coming to like events like this make you anxious? Like kind of talking about like what we're doing is kind of weird. Like we're speed dating. We're like assessing people in 5 to 7 minute increments.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Is everyone a parent?
How about this? Wait.
Because you could ask like, what's the weirdest thing? I was saying, is everyone a parent? Because like, what's the weirdest thing your kid did? Or like, what's like, you know, what?
But we
That's
don't know.
That's nice if they're... Okay, but I have a really weird one, but maybe it's not, I don't know how weird it is, but if you were like, if so, like in the Barbie was in my mind from you mentioning that movie. So like, if you were a doll, what accessories would you come with?
Yes, that's fun.
Like, what are your three items?
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
It's like, it's not Desert Island, but it's like kind of like who you are,
right?
Like,
right. Yeah, so you're like, and then you know, if it was you, Lauren, you'd be like a 64 gallon tumbler.
I'm like a gigantic cup of ice. My phone and a hat. Oh, you suck.
Which character in High Fidelity are you? How's that?
Yeah.
Are you Jack Black? Are you John Cusack?
Which character is kind of fun? Yeah. Would you say you're more the happy theater face or the sad theater face?
Are you a Hufflepuff?
Here's a question, though, for y'all. Do you think, though, that like when you actually are confronted with someone who you feel like you have chemistry with, it almost doesn't matter what this stuff is? You just start naturally having chemistry?
Yes. And I think so. But I think this is a really weird situation, though, because I'm like, how easily is chemistry flowing when you're like having these stilted moments and like jumping around?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Unless you are like immediately attracted to the person. But that's not always the best way to get to, I mean, like, being immediately attracted is not always great.
Right. You can't like, you took his dame.
Yeah,
you should actually try that, because that's like old timey in a way that some people might find gallant.
That's how I got you.
If someone walked up to me while I was seated and told me they liked my tookus, I'd be like, I'm in, let's do this. You haven't even seen it, baby.
I think this is interesting, though, because this is one of the most difficult things I've found. How do you start a conversation with someone? With anyone, period.
It is.
Like,
you don't know them.
I just like, I don't know where to, like, if it's a friend of mine or even an acquaintance,
yeah.
There's stuff there. But if you're just, I never knew how to, when I was younger, walk up to someone at a party, say, and just start talking.
No, totally. But hold on. I have a question that might be good for this situation. What's your morning routine?
Oh.
Like, because then you hear about the person's life a little bit.
Yes.
And like, maybe they talk about their pets or that they have to get up and take care of their kid. Like, they'll immediately tell you what the
thing
is.
That's a good one.
They,
what's your morning routine? Is a very
And if they get up at 7 or they sleep till noon, or like, you know, you'd learn like a lot about somebody with that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think with this, like, it's very different than walking up to someone at a party. You can just say a weird question right away.
At a party.
Because you're just trying, I mean, oh, you, in a party you could, but I'm saying in this conversation,
yeah.
In a date, speed dating, because you're just trying to get to the point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some people are very good. Like, I always say about Mike, like, I feel like he will get into conversations that I'm like, how did you end up talking to that person about that? Like, walking back and telling me, like, that person does such and such. And I'm like, what? Right.
Like, why are they sobbing telling you about their parents' divorce?
Yeah. Like, it's just,
Mike's like, I'm like, I stared at them
amazing.
And I said,
yeah.
Are you hurting? Because Mike would.
Yeah.
Mike would look you right in the eyes, deep in, and go,
yeah.
You're hurting today. And it's like, no.
I mean, yeah, I don't find myself having like wild, revealing conversations with strangers very often. But
not with strangers, with my friend, with not even
oh,
at
with
a party,
friends, yeah.
Or an acquaintance. I mean, it goes to existential fears real quick.
That's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with an acquaintance I recently ran into, then he started telling me at a party about like drama in his family, and then I was like, I love this.
Yes,
exactly.
Like, I was like, this.
Secondhand
I was like,
drama.
This is what I want. This is the conversation I want to have right now. Because, like, I could have small talk with you about, like, improv shows or whatever, and I don't care. Nobody cares. It's, like, getting into, like, oh, my God, why did your dad do that? And ba-da-da. Like, it's, like, this
yes.
is, like,
yes, yes. We went to a party the other day, and I think within 2 minutes, an acquaintance is telling me about having to, like, clear out his father's effects after, like, the funeral, something like that. And I'm
wow.
like,
you're so lucky. I wasn't in that conversation. I wasn't there for that
yeah,
part.
Yeah, that sounds
That's good.
Good. Yeah.
I also think, and just one last one, this is a classic. It's simple, right? Because here's the thing. A speed dating event, people are probably looking cute, right? They've dressed to kind of impress. Where'd you get those glasses? Where'd you get that pin? Oh, I like that watch.
Yeah.
That's
what is
an
that,
easy
Hugo Boss?
In. That's an easy way to just kind of...
Yeah,
you know, maybe there's a little cute story behind it, or you know where they like to shop, or you kind of get, you know, like, so it's a little way. And also, too, you always loosen someone up with a compliment. You know what I mean? It's always a way to loosen.
That's true. Because I think also, like, depending on how people answer that, it's like you learn a lot about, like, some people really like shopping, and so then they would be like really happy to like get into all that. And other people are like, I don't know, I've had this for 10 years. And then you're like, oh, that's interesting too. Like, you don't care at all. It really would tell you a lot about somebody.
Yeah. And just how, even if their answer was like, Warby Parker because I honestly hate shopping for glasses. You know, because like, it doesn't have to be some dramatic story, but like, again, the little way in, you're loosening them up. So again, we have told you, I say, when was the last time you cried? What made you anxious? Lauren is giving a lot more safer. When was the last time you laughed really hard? What's your morning routine?
What are your feelings about Citizens United?
Andrew, you're doing that, and then you can always give a little compliment. Okay, you can also say, "What do you like most about me?" And then,
what visually strikes you about
what
me?
What visually strikes you about me? And that's just like a great way to start.
How about this? How do you like my tuchus?
How do you like my tuchus, bro?
How do you like these apples?
Lauren, do you have to...
What does that mean, by the way? How do you like them apples? That's nothing, right?
Do you mean from Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Do you like apples? How do you like these apples? And then he holds the... Yeah. I got her number?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing, right? That's not like a phrase. Did he make that up?
No, it was well before his time. How do you like them apples? Like, how does that strike...
Yeah, how do you like them apples?
How does that strike you? I don't...
Okay, so...
Okay, we might have to Google it. Now, we might have to Bader Meinhof, but we know it's not as important.
I recently watched that movie and I was like so impressed that they wrote it. I mean, it's so late. Like, I'm like, they're like A-list.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Like,
was it your first time watching it?
It was my first time. Like, I maybe saw it back when it first came out, but like, was not processing anything. And like, now I'm like, oh, it's so interesting. They made this script and Ben Affleck's the down home boy. And very interesting.
I like a wealthy, out of touch character. I like a character who's a down home boy.
He's a down home boy from wherever they're from.
Boston.
Boston, thank
they're
you.
Southeast,
I did retain that image.
Right?
Yeah, they're Southies. And one of them had apples. And Minnie Driver came into the picture, which was an interesting choice.
I know. I like her, though. I used to love that movie, Circle of Friends.
Oh, she's fantastic.
I was Circle of
Friends.
Oh,
my God.
I was her character.
So many movies right around that time.
Gross Point Blank. Everything. That's for me.
Oh, that's your Minnie. That's your Minnie. Uh-huh.
Really great one. Gosh. I love John Cusack.
Me too. Did you ever meet him? You guys are from the same town?
No. Yeah. And that's the thing. Is he's from Evanston. So I'm like, I feel like I always was like, John Cusack is the actor. And then like, I've never met him, but I hold him on a pedestal for that in his acting work.
Lauren, do you have time for one more?
Of course. Great. Yeah.
This is the more serious one I alluded to earlier.
Ooh, illusions.
Illusions.
Hi, Andy, Naomi, and esteemed guest. I apologize for any like stutters or sniffling. Emotions are a little bit high over here. The situation is essentially that me and my boyfriend broke up. We've been together since July of 2020. So almost 3 years. And we have been living together since July of 2021. And we currently live together now. My question to you is, I guess, how do you move on from a person, that you still like love and care for and they're your best friend? It didn't work out compatibility wise. How do you move on from that person when you are still having to see some semblance of them every day? We currently are living together. Our lease doesn't end until November, and it's currently May.
We're a little late on this.
So, and we're not able to break that lease because we're not able to afford the legal ramifications if we were to break that lease. Any advice that you could give would be super, super appreciated. Having a rough time over here.
Late.
There's a spread.
You're so late, Andy. I'm like,
hold on.
Let's hear the rest.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hold on. There's a spreadsheet that these are all in. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't.
And then you just don't do anything with them.
I don't listen to them until I, like, our dear Mimi puts them together into the spreadsheet, and then I kind of look and I'd be like, huh, what might be interesting for our guest?
I mean, but no, did she say, but when she put it in, it should have been like, this is for May. This is dated for May.
But you know what I kind of like about it being for May? Because I was thinking before she said that, I was like, what if she feels totally differently now? And then she could hear this and hear herself and be like, wow, I can't, that's so interesting that I felt like that. It's kind of interesting time capsule, because I think when you are going through something like that, everything's so heightened and crazy. And then when time passes, you can't really remember that you felt that way, or like it doesn't feel the same in your memory. And like, it's been like 5 months. So I'm like, I feel like maybe she hates him now, you know, like, I don't know, maybe it's easier now. For some reason, maybe things have happened. Of course, we have to answer it like they haven't, but I feel like it gives me hope that it was a little bit ago, because time has moved on and she probably has.
Well, at the time that you and we're reading this, we're still in October, which means they have not moved out yet, right? The November deadline hasn't hit.
They haven't broken the lease.
The lease is, they're still in there, and it's like, you know, and first of all, I'm so sorry that, you know, you are getting a delayed response because you were in it. And I know that, like, you know, by the time you reach out to your unlicensed podcast hosts, you know, you're at the end of your rope. So I understand where you're at emotionally with this stuff. And
they added an addendum in another one that says they already started therapy. So there's that part.
Right, okay. So they're on that journey.
That's good.
We don't have to suggest that.
Right. But also,
I wasn't even going to, which is crazy. I should have had that ready to go.
But I think that, you know, this is one of those things where it's the difficulty that you were feeling, you know, on one hand, you are right, Lauren, in that, like, it is situational, because the problem, breakups are hard, full stop. But when you are in the constant presence of the other person, you don't get that chance to heal, because that's the thing of the breakup is, like, you stop talking to the person, you make your life plan, you do things without them, you start to practice. And so in a way, for you, that is put on hold.
You burn the photos in a trash bin.
Yes, you burn it in a trash bin. But that's put on hold because you're physically together. You don't get that freedom. You can't.
I know. I mean, like, one idea that I'm having is, like, if I was stuck in that situation, I would try to stay other places. Like, maybe you could take turns, like, each taking a week staying with a friend, and then you get to stay at the house or apartment or whatever, and then, like, go back and give yourself breaks from each other. But
that's great.
It's probably too late for that. Because I think what's really hard about that amount of time from, like, May to November is, like, you're breaking up and you know you're not compatible, but they still liked each other enough that she cared and she was like, I love this person and we're just not compatible. But, like, then you're probably going to go on dates, or one of you is, and then that's really painful because, like, you're living together and you're, like, witnessing that. Like, I think that would suck.
Well, the rule would have to very much be, like, one, you're not bringing anybody back here, and two, I don't want to know about it.
Yes, lie about if you're going out on a date.
No one wants to hear that. No one wants to say, I'm going out to see a movie. I don't care who with. You know what I mean?
Go
like,
change
you
at the restaurant.
Change your outfit at the restaurant.
Like, you wear sweats out and then you change into clothes at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You have to do
that. Would be very kind.
You have to do the decency. Do that person the decency. Yeah. Like, not talking about it, not bringing it home, not, you know. And I think that the other thing, too, is when you say, like, okay, well, we still have this closeness for each other. Then the other thing is, like, I don't know, when we say you live, I don't know how big this apartment is or house or whatever the situation is. Separate beds? That's important. It's like, you cannot.
Well, because that's my fear, is they're in the same bed. And that's really too much. Even if you're, like, on okay terms, you can't share a bed.
Right.
And it's not uncommon to have that happen. But it's like, someone's got to go on the couch, or if you hopefully have another room. Oh, my gosh. But that's really hard.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you got somebody sleeping on the couch. Get a little twin memory foam, like a little mattress, like some a little padding, put on the couch, get the couch comfortable, because that's it. We're not, that's not what's going to happen, you know, for
God. If you can plan a trip to see someone and leave for 5 days at any point, I would do that. I would be trying to just be gone a lot.
Yeah, you got to be gone a lot.
Have you thought about burning your apartment building down? And then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because then if you don't have that place, then you don't live there anymore.
You don't have to, then you don't have to break the lease.
There's no legal ramification to burning down the apartment. The lease is broken.
And then you guys don't live together. You get to move wherever you want. Yeah.
And if, if his belongings are in there when you burn it down, then that's just gravy.
Yeah. You're just done.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, get everything that's important to you. Have it in a backpack. and just be like, yeah, do, 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 walk out the door.
Yep. Yeah.
And then whatever I don't know how you do arson. I guess you.
Yep. However you want to do it.
Just Google that. Make sure there's a long trail of information that shows that you did it.
Definitely do it on your phone where it's traceable.
Yeah. Your phone or, you know, at work, you know, ideally somewhere just a nice data collection of your search terms.
Yeah.
Get a burner smartphone. Do those exist already? These have to exist at this point.
Oh my God, I'm sure. Right?
Look, if you're going to do a crime, get a burner smartphone and look up the shit you need on that. Also, drive to a different cell tower so that they wouldn't.
Now, wait, what are we advising
up.
Yeah, how to now do? It's gotten so far off the path.
Andy. This is Andy.
Well, you guys get. This is the same. This is the problem that happens all the time is that the guest and Naomi give all the good advice. And so all I have
and you're left
is
with
bullshit.
Yeah. It's great.
You guys ate everything. You guys ate all the mozzarella
bullshit
sticks.
Is helpful. Yeah.
You guys ate all the mozzarella sticks and all I have left is the soggy lettuce.
So we ate it and left no crumb. That's
the worst part.
That's the worst part.
Why did they put the lettuce there?
Lauren,
don't get him started.
Don't get me started.
Because he's
a waste.
Go on for an hour or more.
Yeah.
Yep.
No one's supposed to eat that. No. It's just supposed to be a prettier plate.
What's the point?
Wet lettuce.
Yeah. Wet lettuce under a fry.
And now you're getting your lettuce taste on my delicious mozzarella sticks, and I don't need it. Now I have to turn it, and I have to make sure
lettuce taste.
The part of the mozzarella.
It's not wet.
I have to make sure that the part that touched the lettuce does not touch my taste buds.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard, because we all know lettuce doesn't have a taste, okay? Lettuce is a vehicle for dressing, and I don't want to hear it. At best, bitter is the taste of some lettuces.
I love you so much, Naomi, but this hurts my heart to hear you say this.
Lettuce has no taste.
I do think lettuce has a taste.
See, spoken but. Like someone with a low blood pressure. You know, lettuce has a taste. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Wait, but when you ended your marriage, like, was this like y'all were living together, were you like, I'm out? Yeah. And then like, just
it
staying?
Wasn't immediate.
Okay.
Yeah, it was difficult. But it wasn't, I don't remember how, it wasn't that long, but it wasn't that short.
Yeah.
I think at least a few weeks, if not longer.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the conversation about getting divorced takes a while anyway. Yeah. So it's not just one day and you're done or something. So, I mean, technically, I guess it could be, but like it's a conversation. And then the breaking up and then living in the same place and then figuring out where you're going to go. So that takes time. And you can't just immediately jump into a lease. And,
but did you just like go and stay with friends until that was kind of sorted?
No, we were in the same place, but we had two bedrooms. Uh-huh. So that made it a bit better. But I think I guess my advice to my past self would be go stay somewhere.
Yeah.
But we had pets too. It's like I had responsibilities.
Oh, Lord. Joint custody. So, that's like my big fear.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I do.
Well, we did not have joint custody of the pets. The pets came with me and then that was the end of the story.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. Because my thing with Andy, you know, he came with his cats and then I fell in love with them and I really was like, oh, I can never break up with this man because the cats will be
gone. Right.
Because
then, I mean, I'm always quite shocked by joint custody of pets.
Yeah.
I feel like you're doing a lot for yourself to, you know, keeping a lot of pressure on yourself by having to get together and exchange a dog.
Right. Absolutely.
I just don't think that that's necessary. I understand why people do it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's easier so you don't always have to have the dog all the time and you can do things in your life. But it just feels like there are other options. There's dog sitting. There's dog walkers.
Yeah. They're rescues. Places. I mean, they're flooded. Okay. Just get a new dog. Yeah. You got to get it. Save another life.
You don't want heartbreak on top of heartbreak.
Well, no, I think it's
hard to leave the dog, but that's also just, I mean, I'm not telling anyone what to do. Some people do this and it works out great. But it's either I keep the dog or I have to just accept the fact that the dog is no longer mine.
Yeah. Like it will never happen. But if we were to break up, which would never happen, you know, Mabel's mine. But then every day at 11 p.m., you have to come and walk her outside because it's too late for me to go out and I'm scared.
Yeah.
And that's just like what it would be. And I wouldn't have to see you. I'd be like, Mabel, go. She would meet you at the bottom of the stairs. You would take her. You would bring her to me. And then that would be how it would have to be.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't like this conversation.
Andy doesn't even like it as a concept, and I understand.
It would never happen.
It would never happen. It's also like, even that idea does still sound painful, because it would be like, he's coming.
Yeah, he's coming to take care of you.
What am I, like, Slender Man?
Well, if we broke up, yeah, you'd be Slender Man. You'd be a nightmarish.
You'd be hiding in your room and then just, like, hoping that he dealt with the dog and left.
Exactly. Yeah. It would be terror. It would be terror.
Scary.
So, like, no, not okay. Sad. Not well.
I hope this person is doing much better now and that they maybe got out of their lease. Maybe they figured out a way to get out.
Yes, please, if you hear this, you know, and obviously by the time you hear this episode, you will be on the other side. If you would please let us know how you're doing, because I know at the time you recorded this, you're hurting, and it was a lot, and it was, it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks to end a relationship, and then when you don't even get the freedom to kind of feel all your feelings because that person's in your fucking face and you got to be like, hey, can I get the bathroom? You know, it's like
there should be a what's it called, lease clause or something where like you're able to put in like, and if we have a breakup, we can break the lease, you know, at X amount of months post breakup or something. Like, just like put it out there. Because also, I had that happen with a roommate who I wasn't in a relationship with, who was just a friend, where it was like it was three of us living in a place and someone wanted to move out and then it was going to break the lease. We didn't want to, it was like a whole thing. And we did break the lease, but it's like drama. Like, the life just happens where you can't keep living with people all the time. It's not always great.
Right. There have to be like, it should be sort of like dormitory housing for breakups in a sense where it's like, we've broken up. You can go stay in this like SRO for a couple months till you figure it out.
Yeah.
But, like, you need to be out immediately. You know what I mean? Like, there's an app where you should be able to just like get into a new place.
That would be nice.
By 10 p.m. that night. It's like, get out.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't have to be like, but it's like, just get out and we can like continue to talk and figure it out. But we need to both not.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I think you should be able to like, you should be able to, I was going to say fight your landlord, but I don't really mean physically fight, but like, give them three riddles, or they give you three riddles, and if you can solve them, you get to break the lease. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like
a battle of wits.
Yes, landlords are like trolls, right?
Well, that's true.
So you should be able to, like, I have riddles three for ye.
Right. And then right. I have riddles three for ye. Okay.
Right. Riddles.
Wet lettuce. Look, wet lettuce. That's all I've got for you.
That's all. God. Wet lettuce.
I feel like wet lettuce today, and I'm so sorry, Lauren, but.
It's a wet lettuce day. It's raining. Know, it's kind overcast. Of a sloppy day.
But normally when it's overcast, like I saw it was overcast and I said, yes, bitch. Like an overcast day for me in a town where it's always sunny. You know, it has the effect that sun.
No, it's amazing.
Like I was like,
this is it.
And I was like walking the dog and I got caught in some rain. And I said, okay, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready.
It's the best. I got to pull out my daughter's raincoat and I was really excited when I remembered it because I hate when I miss an opportunity, you know, because it just doesn't rain and you don't get to wear these things and it's just fun.
Look, if you can't treat your children like dolls from age 1 to 5, then what's the point?
Yeah.
0 to 5.
What are we even doing here?
What are we doing? Yeah. It's like not the point.
Lauren.
Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I love this show. I'm such a fan, so I really appreciate being back.
Oh, so honored. Aww. Always a dream to have you. Yeah. You might be one of our top because you were on with Dipper, you were on with Mike, and now you're on yourself.
Yeah, the Dipper show was a long time ago. That was fun. We were in a studio.
Yes, we were, exactly. That had to have been 2019 or something.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
We were young.
Things were. We would drive places to talk like this, where now we know we can just turn on the screen and
you're never
go back to our lives.
You're never going to get me in person again. Someone said to me, like, it's will you do my are you still scared of COVID or will you do my podcast? I was like, not only like
I don't like that approach.
I didn't appreciate it either. But it's also like there's no reason for me to like get a ride to come have a conversation with you for $0. No. Let us just be at home. Okay?
Yeah.
Get a strong
internet
and let's just make it work. Stop
I will
being
turn
a fool.
This off and then go do the dishes. Like that's it.
Immediately.
Yeah. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. This is the episode. I'm sorry. I just like my brain just like kind of crapped out. Anyway, you guys, okay.
you can tell what Naomi's just like, we're done.
Well, I just like, I don't know. I just like got.
I understand it.
No, but it's not Lauren. It's me. Okay.
No, it's not. I don't feel that it's me.
Sheesh,
I feel that it's
healthy.
The podcast. It's podcast fatigue. We all have it. You know, you're just, I'm done now. And I'm done.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. You can.
We don't need to wrap it up a million times. We're good. We did it. Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.